Scoop. We had a very interesting interlude last week when Gary Belcher and Scott Sattler were on a Zoom party and drinks affair with Craig Hutchison. On the back of that, we decided that we should get together, given that they can give us a great insight into rugby league.
Yes.
And hopefully we can help them decipher what's nonsense and what's fact about AFL football. And we decided on a weekly basis to go up to Queensland or New South Wales, wherever they are residing, the two legends of the code, and have a weekly chat.
Is this just going to end up them defending Peter Valandis and us defending Gillon McLachlan?
I wouldn't have thought so.
He doesn't need defending, Peter Valandis. Look after himself.
Get the net, Jared. We got one.
We have Flathead down here. I'm not sure what what jumps on the hook when you throw it over. But let's for our listeners who have just you've just joined or who have heard you for the first time here in Victoria, we're talking two legends of the sport here, Scoop and listeners. Gary Belcher is a legendary Raiders and Queensland fullback. He played 16 State of Origin games, and well, they call him Badge, but a badge of honour he wears with great distinction. And Scott Sattler, we are talking one of the heroes of the Penrith Premiership over the Roosters in 2003.
Yep.
He was an unbelievably good State of Origin player in all of his one games for Queensland. and he joins us on the line. Welcome to you, boys. I'm really looking forward to this.
That Zoom call that you were talking about last week, Sam, I'm not sure whether you saw it, but I don't know. Jared looked very royal in that meeting, and I made the comment that he looked like he should have been sitting on a mahogany chair with a pipe out of the side of his mouth. He looked very regal. I'm not sure whether he sits like that in the studio each and every night, but yeah, we're glad to be here, guys.
He usually has the crown going.
Yeah, Crown Lager, indeed. I was in Hutchie's, that's the boardroom here, and in better times, pre-COVID times, it looks a little bit more regal, but unfortunately that wasn't the case. I was just relaxed because I was in good company. We have had a fantastic couple of weeks watching from afar. St. Peter has actually just put himself and the code on the map, and it's great to see blokes like Paul Kent absolutely deciphering everything that guys like Gary Lyon and Tim Watson are saying. I've never seen him show more interest in Melbourne media than he has done over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a fan. You've always been a fan, haven't you, Jared, of Peter Valandis? Are you part of the minority in AFL land?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think most people in AFL are absolutely in awe of what Peter Valandis has done. I'm not sure why there's been one or two people get up in arms. I remember saying only, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks ago to my co-host, Scoop McClure, who kept on putting lots and lots of doubt and question marks over the May 28th. But to me, it was an ambitious call and it gave direction.
Yeah. Scoop, you're there. Are you on with it now? Are you excited to see the NRL's back, or are you a little bit jealous, or are you perplexed? How you feeling?
No, I'm definitely excited. And yeah, there probably is a little bit of jealousy. I mean, we'd all like to be playing. The AFL clearly took a more conservative route. And I did think, I'm not going to back away from it, at the time, I thought that Peter Valandis was being overly ambitious in the face of a really serious virus that was, you know, having a big impact, not just on global sport, but on the economy. I didn't think it was the right way to go. And I didn't think May 28 would get up, but I've been proven wrong and happy to say that I'm wrong. And it's great that you guys are getting the league back.
Yeah. You know what he's saying now? He regrets that he actually called it off.
Yeah.
He wishes he'd plowed on like he did with racing.
Which I, again, disagree with. I'm not sure how you can make that call in retrospect, but look, at the end, and Jared said this many times when we had this argument, if May 28 ended up working, it was going to be him coming out looking like the victor that he is, and it's happened, so good luck to him.
That's not the main issue, boys. The major issue, and it seems that a little bit of amnesia has crept into Scoop McClure. There was two crates of Asahi on the May 28th date getting up. So tomorrow at about 6 o'clock, I'm just assuming that the truck is going to arrive, and why don't you make it a Sydney beer just for the sake of it?
Well, we disagree with a lot of things across the border, and their choice of beer is another thing I disagree with. So it'll be something brewed down here, I would have thought.
Gary, what are you looking forward to from the first round of footy?
Oh, I just want the footy back, and I've been saying for weeks it doesn't matter who really they put up against each other. Everyone is going to watch every game. Rugby league fan is going to watch every game with bated breath. Really keen to see it come back and just see some action again. empty grandstands. Well, who cares? We had that in round two. We're going to put up with it. You guys have got to put up with it. It's just a byproduct of the times we're in. But, yeah, well, my old club's playing against the Melbourne Storm. The Canberra Raiders are playing the Melbourne Storm. That should be a cracker of a game down at Amy Park. And they only got permission down there at the last minute, really, to train and play at Amy. So it's good to see.
Hey, Scoop and Jared, June 11 start with the AFL, Collingwood versus Richmond. Now, do the AFL realise you don't need to kickstart a season with a blockbuster when you don't have fans in the stadium?
that's a reasonable point. But to that point, I mean, the eyeballs on particularly free-to-air TV, Jared, and I know there's high subscriptions going at Fox at the moment, are going to be more important than ever because, boys, we've had clubs, and one of them being the Saints, have already shown and displayed their dismay with not having any free-to-air games because, you know, now there's not going to be enough eyeballs on their sponsors. So if you can't have crowds, TV ratings is going to be the next best thing.
It's a problem here. It's a problem here as well. There's the haves and the have-nots as far as the broadcasters go. Channel 9, because it was all rejigged, they're the main broadcaster for rugby league. They're paying less, but they've had a bigger say in which games actually they'll be able to broadcast. So they've some clubs have lost out there, others have gained. As always, the Brisbane Broncos are going to be on prime time Thursdays and Friday nights, and they kick it off tomorrow night against Parramatta, but just simply because they've got such a big fan base and so many people tune in.
Can I ask you who won out of the renegotiation of the Channel 9 deal and how you're interpreting the fact that Nine haven't extended beyond 2022? There's been two theories that I've read. One, Scoop McClure says Channel 9 are not heading any further than 2022 because they're having a look at trying to grab part of the AFL. And yet I read in The Australian about 4 or 5 days ago, Brent Reed interpreting it exactly the opposite, that one of the great indicators of how strong the game is in rugby league is that Channel 7 are now actually trying to grab a piece of the action from rugby league. How are you interpreting it all?
Oh, I think that both came out of the negotiations exactly where they needed to. I think Peter Volandis realised that he had to give a little bit back. I think Channel 9, they've been terrific partners for so many years. I think they realised they had to also represent to their shareholders that they needed to save some money as well. So I think they've all found really good common ground. Now, in saying the 2022, I think Channel 9 are sitting back and saying, we want to survey the landscape. We want to see where the game is at. It may end up working against them if the game continues to reach some climaxes that we hope it will in the next three years. They may end up paying more money than they had originally.
Well, it's a discounted rate that Channel 9 and I think Fox as well. Yep. But Channel 9 certainly have come back from around 120 mil a year to something like 90 or 100 over the next 3 years. So it's been discounted because of what's gone on and the product has been diminished arguably, you know, by a bit. But I'm with you, Sats. I reckon it's going to be potentially worth a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, I think there's no panic there that we won't have a free to air broadcaster. That's for sure. Fox extended by, we believe, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt you won't be friendless when it comes to re-signing. It's only a question of how much, and I don't think anybody knows exactly where the game and the economies are going to be on both sides of the divide, but when you're looking at the favourites, as we now start talking about wins and losses, can you let us know exactly where the Storm sit? Because we're used to a parochial bias against the Melbourne Storm from the powerhouse of most Sydney journos, but I know you guys are more balanced. Yeah. Where do you see Storm heading this year?
They're the fourth Queensland club, and we're both Queenslanders. Yeah. So you're on board. So many great Queensland players. We love them. And I played a lot of footy with Craig Bellamy, so we're on board with Melbourne Storm. Look, unfortunately, for my club, they've never lost an opening round game.
Yep.
And I'm counting this, well, since Craig Bellamy's been there, I'm counting this as an opening round game.
Yep.
So they'll come out of the blocks firing up. They're top four material every year. Yep. They just are. So they'll be, and our codes like yours, you need to be top four to be a genuine contender. So, they'll be there. They've got some real stars and a couple of blokes in key positions that have been kind of trialled, that have suited them, you know, just nicely at fullback and Ryan Pappenhausen and at the halfback position as well. So some gun players, they'll be fine. Yeah, don't stress at all that Melbourne Storm won't be right up there.
So just on the future, there's been an ownership change there. A mate of ours on this radio station, Matt Tripp, has taken over, and he's a pretty powerful and well-heeled guy, a young guy, a go-getter. He almost made it sound as if he's got Cameron Smith lined up to take over from Craig Bellamy. Is that how you're reading it? Will their succession plan be as obvious as that? Or do you think it'd be worthwhile having a look at another face that comes in from another club and another system?
I think it'll come through the system, the Melbourne system, whoever their next coach is going
Craig
to be.
Craig will be running... Cameron will be running the referees.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll be the second referee now that we've gone back to one anyway. So he'll be excited about that. But with Cam, I'm really interested to see with this layoff that we've had whether the swan song of 2020 will actually occur, whether he might go another season. The way that he started the first two rounds, now we've had 8 weeks off.
Yep.
Yeah, he may play next year. When it comes to the succession plan, I think they'll recruit internally from their coaching. Their coaches that are there. I think Craig's probably only got another 2 years left in at Melbourne. I think he'll move on to another chapter.
He's the best in the business, and he's certainly a wanted man. Hey, talking about Clubland, there's been a fair bit of grumbling, I imagine, down there because of huge cuts to staff and jobs in and around your footy clubs. It's happened here too, but I believe it's been quite brutal in the AFL.
Indeed, there's been huge cuts. We've got one photo that stands out amongst most from last year. It was an award-winning article that showed that there was 18 people in the coach's box. Well, this year, post-COVID, the restrictions are to just 6 people in the coaching box. So
that
includes statisticians. You give a bloke a computer, he's an expert these days. So it's going to be some major changes. And you know what we've actually found is going to happen in AFL? We're told the coaches may actually end up coaching. Now, that is quite extraordinary.
What about the interchange, guys? Now, we know that you have, I think, about 350 interchanges throughout an entire game. Yeah, we have 8 in total, and I'll repeat that again. Yep. We'll have 8 interchanges through 80 minutes. So it looks like there may be a change in the interchange
run in
bench
our game.
We
actually run in our game sort of long distances instead of
just
in straight
you
lines.
You supplement running with contact. There's not a lot of contact in AFL, so we pick up the slack there. But with the interchange bench, 4 players currently, is there a look that they may add another couple of players?
It's really interesting, Jared, and we spoke about this a little earlier tonight, but Steve Hocking, who's our head of football for the league down here, actually admitted on a Zoom call that they may, in fact, change it before round 2. I mean, I found that staggering.
That's not the way I interpret it. I interpret it as saying, no, go and get staff, no more rotations.
Not about rotation.
And no more interchange.
I'm talking about the amount of players on the bench.
Did you interpret it that way?
Well, there's only one way to interpret what he said, is that they might change it.
Don't you guys have these meetings off air for you?
No, Jared and I try to not speak at all before 6:07. We go straight into
That's pipe time. It's he's got the feet up on the desk and he's smoking the pipe.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got one leg up on the desk. I am going to put one of the crates of Asahi that you owe me.
And send one up to us.
On the fact that there'll be no more blokes on the interchange bench.
Yeah, see, Sats and Badge, this is what I need to learn as a young guy coming into this show, is that the AFL doesn't actually make a decision before getting it ticked off by Jared.
That's
so I've got to not get involved in bets that involve the AFL making decisions because I'm always going to lose them.
Well, I'll be very surprised, let me put it that way, if in fact there's more blokes on the interchange bench. But that said, the coaches have been, from my understanding,
pushing for it,
squealing about it. They want more rotations. But what we're doing, we're reducing the quarters from 20 minutes down to 16. So
good idea.
I don't mind the idea. I don't really care either way. But what it does mean is that the players are going to be fresher. So why do you need more blokes on the bench?
Yep. Exactly, Jared. Exactly.
And from an outsider's point of view, and this is not anything against the AFL, but games for me go too long because as a rugby league fan or even if you're a football, a soccer fan, it goes a hell of a lot longer and it kind of gets to the middle of the second half or the start of the third quarter. I'm going, is it not over yet? They're still going? What, and they're going to have time on? Jeez.
Well, I tell you it's a really hot argument down here and it's divided families and I'll give you a direct example. This is a letter. This is an email I got from my 89-year-old auntie Val. Now Val lived in Sydney for a long time, and she's been a Mad Swan supporter for about 50 or 70 years, probably. She said, "For the record, I do not want shorter quarters, and I don't know any fan who does. So around I go to my old man's place, who's 86 today, and they actually call him Halftime Healy because he very rarely gets through a game because they go too long. So that is the difficulty that you've got in all sport. You make a call, you're going to please half the fans, and you're going to make everybody else pissed off. Now, we're going to have, as we discussed prior to coming on air, a weekly hero and zero. And it's my turn, Scoop, if you don't mind going for the hero and zero from the AFL eyes of rugby league. And we're going to ask the boys to respond. I don't think there's any question that St. Peter has to be the hero. Yes. Now, this may well go for the whole year. I'm not
he's
sure.
He's the next immortal.
Well, he's not only that. I believe he's going straight to heaven. And given that he's involved in racing, he'd be a one-off up there. But nevertheless, Peter Vlandis, I think, has been knighted. St. Peter, not Sir Peter. St. Peter, well done. You led the charge. And tomorrow, I think everybody in rugby league should charge their glass and have a beer to him. And a sad story, the zero has got to be Bronson Sherry.
Yep.
I mean, that just reads really badly. I know that B sample still has to come through.
B samples are very rarely different to
B samples.
Never known one to be different.
No,
it must be disappointing for everybody down at Cronulla. And unfortunately, I've got to say, fellows, we have got a cast of thousands you could pick a zero from. I'll be interested in who you find your zero.
Sorry, who's your hero badge?
Well, my hero is Eddie Maguire for naming the great Lou Richards. As
he's part of our staple diet, wasn't he?
Oh, why would a sport love Lou? He should be a legend. Why is he not a legend of the AFL, you blokes?
Can't believe Eddie's been involved in hero this week.
Eddie's got the hero.
That's unbelievable.
Yes, so he hasn't got legend
status.
That's Leicester City coming from 200-1 to win the Premier League.
Yeah, the grasshopper.
He's had a big 10 days, Eddie. He's made more headlines here in the Herald Sun than any man has accumulated in a month. He's done it in a week. I mean,
he's competing with Peter Vlandis for names, number of times he gets his name in the paper.
Yeah, one's getting positives, the other one's getting brickbats. Who is your zero then, if Eddie's your hero?
My zero is a guy that I absolutely idolise. I love him. I'm a massive Lions and a Swans fan, but a huge Lions fan.
Yeah.
The three-peat coach, Lee Matthews, saying that he's saying that the marquee player, which is a player that's played outside of the salary cap, is a ridiculous idea. Come on. Lee, come on. Every club's got to have a marquee player and you can pay them outside of the cap.
I'd love to understand your rationale here, because for my way of thinking, that is one of the dumbest things I've heard people say. How can you have a salary cap and then pay someone outside the salary cap?
I just want to remind our two new friends, Jared, that they're messing with a guy who did this.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it. Oh, talk about a he-man.
I know you're a legend of 2003, Sats, but he'll snap you in half if you keep going.
Never snap the goalpost in half. I know that.
Did you just say, Jared, how can you have a salary cap but players paid outside of it?
Yeah.
That's been going on in our game for years.
Exactly.
There's a lot of
you heard of the Roosters?
There's a lot of things going on in your game that actually defy logic, and this is particularly one of them. I mean, why have a salary cap, which is supposed to make everything even, and then have people like your good friends who run the Roosters pay $1 billion over the cap, makes everything uneven.
That's the definition of counterintuitive. To have a salary cap and then say, oh, by the way, you can pay one player outside of it.
We'll just not love have a cap firing then. You up. You know who my hero is, to be quite honest?
Yeah.
Scoop and Badge is Jared Healy's voice. It's like velvet. I keep getting lost in it. He's like the Barry White of AFL.
Can you sing us a song, Jared?
I'll work on that. I will work on that.
I want some Barry White, Mandy, for next week.
Gary Belcher, Scott Sattler, been great to have you on Sports Day. We're currently going to about 95% of Australia. Let's hope we have a fantastic start to the rugby league tomorrow night. And, your team is a winner over the weekend.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you, boys.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, gents. And Jared Healy, Sam McClure from Sports Day. Vic, we'll talk to you again next week.
Will do.
It's coming up to the 8 o'clock news. Jared and I will see you tomorrow from 6.